Blog Talk Radio. Why are the pillars of magic called pillars? It is the first time in our work that we have encountered this term. And as always, the term revealed itself to me. It isn't something I cognitively thought of. The pillars of magic are the basic principles that uphold the reality of the magical life. They are the basic principles of the study and application of magic. But in addition to that, think of them as little spots around a circle. And what they are is that circle is a brand new reality that they've formed, a brand new space formed by dots. The 65 principles, when lived, lift you out of the non-magic reality into a magical reality. That's why applying those principles precedes the practices of magic. Now, I have also been asked by two people, actually, Ella, about the 65 pillars of magic, and by Rogier, asking me why there are 65 in the Elfin Quest deck, as well as in the Divinity Quest deck. Well, there's a very special meaning to 65 that I haven't spoken too much about. When the first individuations happened, they were a few super gods that then became the next generation of creations, became the gods, and then another generation of gods individuated, and eventually, from them, a big step down came man, and from man came the other races of the cosmos. This is how the dream went at the very beginning of creation. Well, that time, 65 principles of super godhood were embodied by an original 65 gods or super gods. The super gods embodied those principles, establishing a reality in which the magical life of the gods and the super gods could take place. But the 65 were the original principles of super godhood. Is that still the case? My inner feeling tells me yes, I would like to check that, but yes, that is still the case. I have also been asked, what is the meaning of this incorruptible reality that we are studying, living, bringing into reality here on earth of resurrection? What is the cosmic significance? The cosmic significance is a macrocosmic duplication of what happened at the very beginning. When enough of us become resurrected beings, fully resurrected in all three its stages, there's a critical number. The critical number is 65. When 65 of us accomplish that, we change the reality on earth to that of a resurrected reality. And when that happens, we change the reality of the cosmos to a resurrected reality. Future multiplication, duplication of other creations may follow, or it may simply come to a full closure and fruition, and life evolves to a much higher level. But we are the prototypes that begin the resurrection. Then it goes to Earth then it goes to our small little solar system, and eventually, like a pebble in the pond, it spreads to everything. That ability to do so has dramatically increased since the time that time changed, which was, I believe, in December, it was in 2012, beginning of December 2012. Everyone was still very nervous about the end of linear time. And I said to them, this is the day that time becomes centrifugal, like a pebble in the pond. The movement of light's awareness goes out like rings across the entire pond. The ability to change the planet and have it dramatically ripple out across the pond of the cosmos was tremendously enhanced after 2012's closure, which, as we said, you know, really the prophecies said it was the end of 2012, but that date was in February, I believe, the 13th or 14th in 2013. After that, it became very possible for a few to dramatically and almost immediately affect the big and large pond by causing the standard centrifugal movement that carried that change to everybody. If 65 of us change, the Earth changes. If the Earth changes, it ripples to all planets, trillions and trillions of them.
Hello and welcome to Mysteries, Miracles and Mysticism, or Mystery, Miracles and Mysticism, I should say. I'm your host, Vanessa, and I am very grateful to be here, just about. I'm wondering if we've got Joanne with us?
We certainly do.
Oh, good. I'm really happy about that.
Good.
As you know, I'm recovering from some kind of ping, cold thing, so I may sound a bit kind of nasally and whatever, so I really felt...
Actually, you sound totally clear, Vanessa.
Oh, really? Because I can, mm-hmm. You know the way you feel it more, so it's like, oh God, I don't know what way I sound. But anyway, I'm glad, really glad you're here. as always. So welcome to the show, everybody. The show is dedicated to Almeen. She is world's leading mystic and seer of our time. And I really felt to play that audio. I thought it was a pretty cool audio, the 65 pillars of the critical mass. I just felt, because I will update you about the time maps as well, but I felt there was, you know, when she's talking about time and stuff like that, you know, it's interesting. Time, it's the flow of awareness across space. So it's so interesting, you know, that, you know, these tools, they all interconnect. And if you go to the store, you can actually order those cards on the store on Spiritual Journey. So I would like to clarify this with people, because I know the website was kind of changed. So you go to www.spiritualjourneys.com and you click on the links heading, that links bar, and that will bring you to either the diary or the store or whatever it is you want. But and if you scroll down, it will actually tell you about the you know, about the 65 beautiful pillars and their beautiful cards. And kind of my understanding of it is, when I read it, is it's an intent of someone seeking the wisdom of cards to create the mutual agreements between their inner and outer realities, that this is a system that will be the communication method of choice for the outer articulation of inner guidance. So a card, a specific principle desired by someone as an expression in his or her environment, can also send a reverse communication from their outer reality to the inner, eliciting support for its manifestation. So carrying a specific card with us, reading its wisdom frequently, and living its guiding principle, the inner potential of our being is alerted to its desirability so that it can aid in its manifestation. And I really felt to share that with you all. I hope you enjoyed it. They're pretty cool.
I wanted to ask you, actually, Vanessa, you know, as we were listening to the audio, one of the words that I heard kind of coming up quite a lot in the last while, and obviously she mentioned it a few times in this audio that you played, was this whole notion of resurrection.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, it seems like a kind of a, I don't know what the words are, but I just wondered what your stance on it is. What does it mean to you when you hear Amin talk about the resurrection? What does that mean?
What does it mean to me? I suppose for me, if I really look at it from my own perspective, because I don't presume to know anything, but because it's so new to us as well, that's what it feels like to me, that we're actually creating a bridge. Well, not even a bridge. Maybe we won't need a bridge once we become resurrected, because it means that we're actually merging a black light reality and a white light reality, and it's actually becoming one. So we go into a state of resurrection where you're actually dissolving, I suppose what I would perceive it to mean, a separation between the realities of black and white reality, black and white light reality. And so that's really what it kind of feels like to me, that you're actually going to be going into state, hence you would maybe also leave duality as well, if people are still existing in a dualistic reality. But I think there's many, many layers to that, Joanne. And maybe you totally exist in a totally different reality. But as Amin was saying, if a lot of us preparing for the resurrection, then, if one and the many, if one and 65 or maybe more than 65, who knows, shift into this state of that, and you're actually, my understanding of it as well, when you become a resurrected being, that you're actually no longer a God being, you're actually a resurrected being. So that's another, it's another, I suppose, level, I suppose, you know, that I would kind of get. And but also it's when you're doing it in your reality. So my feeling would be that your entire reality shifts as well into a resurrected existence, expression, a being. And so you're doing it on behalf of the many also, because you're going to change it on life. You're going to change the earth, then resurrect as well, because of who you are.
I had this, you know, I started thinking about the word, you know, resurrection. And, you know, many of us have, you know, heard the stories of, you know, people in religious history or whatever who have, you know, been crucified or all of that kind of stuff. And then 3 days later, there was this resurrection. So to me, the resurrection, the term resurrection kind of feels to me like that something has died. So in order for something to resurrect, if you're bringing something back to life, you resurrect it. So in other words, something has died and it needs to be resurrected. And I remembered, as I was thinking that, when I was listening to you, I was thinking about how Amin had said that, you know, at one point, I'm not quoting her directly, but it was something about the infinite comes, you know, to into physical life or physicality or whatever to help the cosmos die. And yeah, and I always thought that that was kind of such a strange kind of thing to say. You know, help something die, okay? You know, and obviously, you know, sometimes you do have to help people die if they need to move into a different place or whatever. So I get that, but so I just wondered about. I mean, I understand the concept that you know that you know she was saying that. When you're a resurrected being, that it, you know, it actually brings new life or whatever. But as I'm talking now, I'm starting to see images of, you know, how we're everything. So supposing everything within your being was to die, like all of the cells and whatever, everything that you're made up is made up of the, you know, we're made up of the stuff of stars and all that kind of stuff. So if we are to die to, I suppose, an old way of being, or totally, like, the whole cosmos in the blink of an eye was to just gone, lights out, and then be remade brand new, then that's a resurrection. So perhaps this is what she's kind of referring to, in the sense is that old... whatever is old that no longer needs to exist. Anything that's old or that is, you know, that is no longer relevant to the world or the universe or whatever it is that we want to be part of or to create or manifest or whatever. That by allowing that old part to die. But doing it in a kind of a masterful way, that we create life in a way that we had never experienced before.
Yes, I feel you brought up a very good point, so thank you. And I don't know. I mean, I know. Well. Some people have died and have come back, and that is true. You know, it has happened, and you know, it happened in one of our means, you know, classes, as far as I'm aware. And you know, she's a resurrected being. And the thing is, just let me see now, because my mind is after going somewhere else, just decided to say bye. Okay. I'm trying to think. I was going somewhere with this thread. Oh God, I'm sorry. Go ahead. It's just
okay.
Gone.
It's okay.
What was I saying?
Yeah.
Please tell me.
I have no idea.
What was your last thing that you said? Sorry.
I suppose that if it's possible that what she means by that is that if you were to die to I suppose eons and eons of you know, cycles that have been repeating themselves over and over and over again, if you were to die to all of those old patterns and whatever that were creating those cycles and old ways of being, that you actually masterfully release them, let them die, and immediately after that, rebirth them into a new way of being that is unlike anything that we have ever experienced before.
Sorry,
that's just
what's
coming to me
that.
Now, because
okay.
I was wondering about it, and the answer just kind of came as I was...
Yeah, it's I mean, you just reminded me, and I was like, why did that leave me? Okay, Amin was speaking about how that she's integrating, and maybe we'll put this on the next audio, actually, how she's learning to integrate living inner and outer reality, and she was saying that, you know, a lot of us are starting to see through our skin and stuff like that. And that's part of one of the, as you were saying, like living in new ways. So, you know what I mean? It's part of the, I think it's one of the things that you can do when you become a resurrected being. And I know some people can see that way as well, you know?
Mm.
So maybe if we play the audio, to hear some of the symptoms, because it's so interesting you were texting me about that today, and I was just thought it was quite interesting because I'd already uploaded that audio. So it can give us more deeper insight maybe about what's happening, because she did bring out a new product called the Time Lapse, and you could order your own personal time map, and which I did see. Just she said about symptoms. So for people that they've been experiencing strange things, how about if we give this a little play and maybe come back to it?
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Let's go.
My dear Light family, there have been several messages from my beloved family members around the world that have indicated that, like those close to me, and actually myself, some of us have experienced, or at least all of us may be experiencing to some degree, the following symptoms. Physical things that we cannot understand. Our eyes are not focusing well, or they're not seeing well for some reason or another. There's a dramatic decrease in vision. That is because things are happening to us that we are not seeing in the proper light. For instance, my balance is still not at 100%, and today I've been staggering quite a bit, and I felt so sad that it would be such a decrepit state of being. It felt as if I had somehow stepped backwards. But what I began to realize is that by proxy, we are processing, getting rid of some of the old things that humanity has to process. Like one of the angel gods said to me, those who have a firm foundation, meaning those who are living their godhood, because the godhood is a whole other reality, are the ones that are asked to bear those unprocessed things that will enable us, when the new time map comes on the 8th of February, to form it at a higher level for all. Because if we don't process it, those things, those pains, depressions, feelings of hopelessness, will have to be processed and be written in as part of the time map. Many of you have felt depression. You have felt strange sensations in your body. For instance, the angel God told me I am not seeing clearly. Yes, injury to the cerebellum causes vertigo. But the reason that I am struggling with a lot of vertigo is because I am learning how to live inner and outer space at the same time, which is part of the resurrected life, and that will produce some vertigo. A lot of the other physical symptoms are either processing the old or learning how to function with the new. Our senses are changing, for instance. We are learning to see through our skin. We are learning to do many more things with our senses than we have in the past. When you are in a state of hopelessness and depression, on behalf of the many, please do not neglect to take this Pituitary Homeopathic Psi Stable available through our office, because you can take it every four hours, 20 to 25 drops, 20 if you're slight build, 25 if you're a heavier or a bigger or a taller person, and you can take it as much as 4 hours. Normally it's 3 times a day, but if you are having great feelings of overwhelm and hopelessness, then that is the solution. Have it on hand, like a first aid bottle. It isn't habit forming, it just stimulates the brain to produce its own serotonin. Beloved ones, we are in service to all life. That comes with the honor of you being the first creations that ever was formed. You are the elite and you are the nobility of the cosmos. You are immortal and incorruptible. But sometimes we take things into our body so that others may thrive and ourselves with a new, higher formed time map. My love to you always.
And that was the audio that Valmi mentioned about the symptoms and many more things. So what did you feel about that, Joanne?
I've had experiences similar to what she said, of things where my vision is slightly blurry, and also definitely feelings of dizziness and all that kind of stuff, you know. And as I'm speaking to you, I can see just hidden behind the candle there in the living room, there's a bottle-sized table. So I do highly recommend it, actually, because if you're experiencing anything or going through anything, it's brilliant to have it to hand, because, you know, I mean, I try as much as I can to focus on beautiful things and to be grateful for everything, but, you know, sometimes, you know, it can be tricky, and so if you can get some help to keep things balanced or whatever, and actually, you know, when you keep things balanced within your own self, it actually helps everybody that you have around you as well. So
that is true. She also mentioned St. John's Wort as well. I think it's good. You can buy it for cups of tea or capsule form. And she did say that if anyone is experiencing anything, just to, you know, make sure you're taking the things, and because you're experiencing it on behalf of the many. So, you know, that's very valuable.
I have noticed, actually, like a few people have spoken to me about, even today, actually, I had somebody say to me that, you know, in the last 18 months that she had feelings, not, she said it wasn't depression, but more of a feeling of, she couldn't describe it, and I said, was it hopelessness? And she said, yeah. So there has been, you know, there has been an increase, I think, in kind of feelings of what's the point, and, you know, and I understand that. It can be kind of a bit of a tricky one to overcome it. But I also do think, I was speaking to somebody else that I know as well, and I think it's really important as much as possible to just, without having a feeling of any kind of outcome or wanting any outcome, to just kind of focus on things that make you feel happy, even if it's, you know, really making a beautiful meal, or, you know, doing a piece of artwork, or singing a song, or, you know, going for a walk, or listening to the birds, anything at all that's like something that will lift your spirit, and to engage in that even a little bit every day, because it will, I think it really helps. Like, I know myself, if I'm singing, if I'm not in great form, and I, you know, I have to teach or whatever, so my students come in, and within a few minutes my kind of lifts, because, you know, I'm singing with them and engaging and whatever, and you know, it becomes fun and whatever, and it kind of helps to elevate. So for me, anyway, singing is brilliant, because it just makes you feel so much happier. All those nice deep breaths that you're taking as well is kind of oxygenating your brain and producing all of these lovely happy hormones, you know.
I feel any form of expression is actually really good to, you know, help feel better. So another thing I would like to ask is, the Cosmic New Year, I would like to say Happy New Year to everyone. And this is the Cosmic, Happy Chinese New Year, but it's because of the Cosmic Time Map that Amin has brought out. They are actually linked with the Chinese New Year and stuff like that, that officially started on the 8th of February this year. So Happy New Year to all of our beautiful listeners and beloved Life family, and to Amin. And Almin's message to her life family for the Cosmic New Year message, it's the year of the monkey, which is the trickster, and it's a year in which we are going to be tricked into learning and life is full of surprises according to our thoughts and emotions. Happy new cosmic year. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to really guard my thoughts, you know. And so on that note, let's go to the actual, we'll go to the time-lapse. But before that, I would like to read about the angels and the mantras. Because of the time-lapse, there's a power wheel just for the day. And the angel is not the angel for the day only, but for the mantra's application and assistance with your ability to live it. So, to summarize, the mantra you are assigned with when you get a personal time map and the specific angel that goes with it is yours for the entire cosmic year to use, both the power wheel and for the second day, for the day associated with your mantra. It's just for the day. It's just for that day. So the power wheel associated with your mantra is just for that day. So you keep the daily power wheels, however, for the New Year's Eve, December the 31st, 2016. We'll be giving a ceremony to purge any remnants for the year gone by, so that the next cosmic year can start at a much higher level. Now that would be interesting. So if anyone's interested in claiming a time map, you can go to Spiritual Journeys, www.spiritualjourneys.com, and I Mean Wisdom, and you can get your very own personal time map. So they're very beautiful to get, and I enjoy it. I started seeing things in my environment as that was resonant with my time map. And so they're all very beautiful, and it's nice to, you know, they actually help you to live with divine intent also. And on that note, I would like to mention that there is a lovely picture that was posted on Spiritual Journeys Diary. The question was from Avril, and I think it was from Avril, Harwood in Wales. And the question was, I took a photo some time ago of what I would call an etheric blue light tablet in my garden. Can you please comment on it? And I mean, answer is, it's a fairy tablet. I can sit down and start translating it when they give me the key. And then there's like a dot, dot, dot. And it's locked up present. It's called Messages from the Nature Spirits. I mean, wow. So it's so interesting, because I keep hearing keys will be given. And I'm like, okay, it's wrong, you know. But I mean, I obviously I'm just observing it. I'm not, you know, you obviously have to just take things into consideration when you're receiving, you know, information, you know, and discernment, stuff like that. And the other thing, it was so interesting, it was like, you know, all about the time maps, and then suddenly genetic testing comes up, and it's, oh my God, genetic testing, what? I don't know if you want to read this, Joanne, or read it out, or tell our listeners about it, or...
I don't mind at all. It's on the diary, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, just bear with me now for 1 second.
Just thought it was a really interesting
genetic testing. Okay,
yeah,
so it was a question that somebody asked about it. I'll just read out what it says about it. This lady wrote in and said, my husband insists that we be genetically tested to see if our baby would have any untreatable diseases if we get pregnant. I feel uncomfortable about this, but he feels it's the responsible thing to do. The testing is called the Genome Project. Do you have any insights about this? And then Almin responds, I'll give a longer answer, and for the shorter one, just get to the conclusion. Here's the medical community's take on it. The Genome Project gave us the ability for the first time to read nature's complete genetic blueprint for building a human being. Here's a definition of what a genome is. The full set of genes that are the instructions to make an individual member of a certain species. The factors that go into the genetic programming of an individual are staggeringly complex. The resulting diversity is beneficial to societies by strengthening the cultural group and bringing creativity and a variety of strong suits. There is a genome for every species on Earth, fauna, flora, and even bacteria or viruses. The deciphering and knowledge of the human genome is in its infancy, infancy because of the variables and complexities involved. It was first decoded in 2001, and for the first time, it gave a glimpse into the genetic information that goes into shaping a person. Here are the problems with being too hasty to use it in determining if pregnancy is a good idea. Every individual is a carrier of some untreatable serious conditions. Some of these genes provide a risk of actually contracting the disease of only 0.1%. Scientists and doctors vary widely in their risk assessment. It is an extremely difficult matter to accurately convey the risk to a patient, often causing alarm where none should exist. Secondly, even when a professional such as a genetic counselor who is trained to produce clear information is consulted, the ability of the patient to understand is still in question. Each person interprets words such as risk and possibility differently. The phenomenon is particularly prevalent when dealing with highly emotional issues such as pregnancy. Recently, it was found that half of a large group of women misinterpreted an explanation written for the general public about tests for genes that make breast cancer more likely. Thirdly, genetic counseling is advocated as a way to help couples make informed decisions about generic risks. However, it raises many ethical questions. What if the subject tested for one condition is discovered to have a significant risk for another? Because of genome sequencing, many counselors will soon learn about thousands of conditions that were not expected and are not treatable. Conclusion. In my opinion, the genome project still in its infancy and therefore not reliable enough for mainstream use especially in the hands of physicians untrained in interpreting the results. I feel it should be employed only in the following aggravated cases during the initial stages if couples want to determine the feasibility of pregnancy. Individuals who have serious genetic conditions in their immediate family. Couples who have had several spontaneously disrupted pregnancies or stillbirths. Couples with infertility. Relatives intermarrying. Women over 35 and men over 40. The medical community is standing on the brink of what could be a valuable prognostic tool, if only they will have the wisdom not to abuse it by being premature and impatient. And that's all she says about that. Well, it's enough. But actually, as I'm reading it, what comes to mind is that if you're told, for example, that you have, you know, that there's a possibility or whatever of, you know, your child having a particular issue or yourself or disease or illness or whatever, once you bring your attention to that, you're actually more likely to manifest it than if it never entered your mind in the first place. Because I know that what we focus on is what we actually create. So that's just my interpretation of it as well. I think, you know, I remember Amin also saying sometimes, you know, people go to the doctors because they're worried about something, you know, they might think that there may be an issue or whatever. And she said that sometimes, you know, they could have tests done and you could see that there's an issue, like there could be some sort of cancer in the system or whatever. But if the same person gained an insight that changed their total reality, which can happen in the blink of an eye, that same person could go back to the doctor a week later and the symptoms would be gone. So I think that, you know, my understanding is that whatever we focus on, we actually create. So if you're focusing on the possibility of an illness or a a possible problem, then you're more likely to manifest that. And I know actually that, for example, doctors, people who work in hospitals and whatever, are more likely to, you know, to come across, you know, and to develop kind of unusual, you know, diseases and all sorts of things, because this is, you know, part of the area of where they're working and what they're studying as they're working with patients.
Very often. Oh, I think we've that's a very good point. What you focus on, you create. So it's important to really do what inspires you, and you know, if that inspires you to be a doctor, then that's what you're going to be focusing on. You know, maybe in that specific area, I don't know. But anyway, yes. So for me, it's more about inspiration, artistic expression, what brings your heart joy, all that kind of stuff. Laughter, fun, humor, definitely humor. and I don't have one preference over another, but you know, why not have some fun along the way? So do you know what I would love to play is the actual about how our time maps are actually your cosmic birthday. So let's give that a whirl and see what happens.
We'll say goodnight now, because
I
know we only have 4 minutes left.
Yeah, so literally I'm going to press play on this. So good night to all of our beautiful We Love It Light family, and thank you, Joanne, so much for being here. I really am grateful to you. And
thank you.
We'll be back next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
It has been complex for me, and I presume that is why the information has come in slowly but surely. As I draw your time maps, the maps speak to me, and every day I am learning more and more what the different lines mean, and of course we'll pass this on to you on the 8th of February, which is when the cosmic map changes for every creature as well as the cosmos. We will be having an online seminar. And Rogier will be the one to present to you some of this information on how to interpret your time map. We have a wheel for every one of the 355 days that are in the Chinese year, the cosmic year's calendar. We've only received 110. So of the 355, the first 110 will be available to you if you have or are going to purchase your time map. I have this morning received 110 aphorisms total, meaning that as you've ordered, each of you have received a personal mantra. Mantra is perhaps a better description of these little sentences that describe a way of living, which is meant for you. We have fulfilled many mantras already, but there is a total of 110, including the ones we've already sent out, that have come in now as of this morning. So 110 wheels, 110 mantras, to go with individual time maps. But the vital piece of information that I didn't understand until last night, when I was drawing one of your time maps and I was in an altered state. There are, in fact, 355 mantras. Each one is for a specific day and matches, therefore, a specific wheel. A power wheel for that day. Well, each of you has a specific mantra that is predominant for you during this year. When the day comes that you, in fact, have the same mantra as your personal mantra that was assigned to you, that the cosmic